Welcome to Beer Fueled. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Fueled Hop with two P's, joined by at Dan Thur or Dan Thury, at Beer Fueled Thury, Ryan Miner, at Ryan Miner underscore FFB. Gentlemen, wild week.
Yes, and I remember to come on this week.
You
Glad.
did.
Proud of you for that.
Yeah,
I
half
think
a bad
wild
one.
week might be an understatement.
I
It's
think it
been
is too. We got a lot to get to, eh?
fucking chaotic.
We got free agency.
It's
We got trades. We've got nothing else other than that we're going to talk about. We'll give you a team by team breakdown here in just a moment. Before that, we're drinking, so let's go ahead and talk about what we're drinking. Dan, why don't you start? You normally give me a little teaser before we go, and I haven't gotten a teaser yet.
Well, it's because you've been dealing with, computer shit since the audio only today.
Audio only is a safety mechanism. Internet's a little dicey after some storms and things today have ravaged through most of
Yeah.
Illinois. So.
So I am continuing the Irish Red theme as St. Paddy's Day is on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday this year. So we're right around the corner. I got Phase Three's The Knot. This is an Irish Red Ale. I believe it clocks in at 5.8. That is what I saw. I don't think it says on here. But Phase Three out of Chicago, at least the burbs of Chicago. One of my favorite breweries from up there. So super excited to dive into this.
All right, I am keeping it in Chicago. I have Revolution Brewing's Baphomet, which is a bo their Bock beer. So went in today to buy stuff and got really excited. And there was a Bock and some other things from some other breweries that I don't normally get to have. So next few weeks are going to be exciting. But because they're not quite cold and you can drink Bocks a little bit warmer, went with Bock tonight.
And I am being very boring tonight because that's what I like to do at best. And I'm having a Coors Light. So I'm just tapping the
Jesus,
Rockies.
cool as the
Rice.
Rockies.
Tapping the Rockies.
You could do worse.
Yeah, I went far
Cool, you can
west.
do Miller Lite, so.
You could. Miller Lite's the bottom of the barrel. All right.
I like Miller Lite.
This water.
I'm gonna blind American lagers over the, like, we're gonna blind American lagers at some point.
There you go.
Right, ready? Yeah, we're
Yep,
ready.
let's do
Free
it.
agency. This is what excited. We've withheld talking to each other a lot of this week just for here. Or because Ryan's not in the main group chat that we talk about all this thing because
It's true.
it's a league that he's not in yet.
Blue League, I'm not in yet. I like it.
You would be. We just kind of started it before we knew you. So it was a little hard to get you in there. All right.
Yeah, this was 2017, so.
Yep. First year of
Oh, it was
show.
right before it.
Right before.
Yep.
Yep. All right. We're gonna go team by team. We won't spend a lot of time on defensive players, but we'll kind of give an overall thought on improvements there, and then obviously we'll talk the offensive guys. So starting with the Arizona Cardinals. On defense, they've added Mack Wilson, linebacker, Sean Murphy, Bunting, cornerback, Justin Jones, the defensive tackle. They signed DJ Dallas for 3 years and $8 million for running back depth. Some offensive line improvements. Jonah Williams comes in 2 years, $30 million. Elijah Wilkinson comes in on a 1 year deal. Tristan Colon comes in on a 1 year deal. And then, special teams guys, and then they traded for Desmond Ridder to, I guess, compete with Clayton Tune for backup work.
Or
He's
just
better
be
than
Kyler
he's,
Murray's backup.
yeah, he's better than Tune. Tune
Oh yeah, a
looked
lot better.
pretty bad last year.
Blasphemous.
Yeah.
I actually I like them both.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
There's
there's
really
really.
no big, really no big fantasy moves here.
No, there doesn't change a whole lot.
Rondale Moore's off the team because he's
Yeah.
involved in the Ridder trade. This just opens up the door for a lot of rookie receivers to maybe step in, or
Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson is the guy you should be keeping an eye on and kicking the tires on as of right now. If he survives
right now,
the draft,
yes.
Draft looking pretty well, you're going to run at that. Big outside receiver, got some volume last year after Kyler and got healthy, and he got healthy. It took him a bit to come on. He was had some good games earlier in the year, too. So that's really what you're watching, and they haven't made a move at wide receiver. They trade away Rondale Moore. Michael Wilson is a guy I've got a close eye on. We've also seen Greg Dortch produce some when given opportunities. So, you know, it pains me to say that a little bit, but that's also a thing. DJ Dallas is the depth signing. He will compete for backup work behind James Conner. Michael Carter is still there. Purely depth for him. So moving on from the Cardinals, we're not going to talk a lot about that. Offensive line, I'm happy to see them attacking that. That could be a boost for Kyler. But, yeah, we'll see how all that comes together. All right, Falcons, we'll do the big one last. So kind of the ancillary things. Charlie Warner, 3 years, $12 million. That's a tight end depth.
Blocking tight end.
Yeah, blocking tight end. They re-signed a couple of people, but there are fantasy-relevant moves here. So they brought in two wide receivers that have had previous relevancy in Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. And then, obviously, the big signing is Kirk Cousins on a four-year deal. Will he be healthy to start the season? Maybe, maybe not. But they bring him in on a four-year deal to try to get more use out of these weapons that are there. So let's talk about this as a whole. Mooney and Moore automatically slide in with Drake London right now as your twos and your threes. You know, obviously, they're not going to have a problem with Kadero Hodge and Ray McLeod, I don't think. So,
one can hope.
Yeah. So, wide receiver additions. Do you like those upgrades? Or is it kind of meh to you? How do you feel about the wide receiver additions first, and then the signing of Cousins? Let's talk about this offense because it's revamped.
So we'll talk about the receivers because this fits everyone's kind of role to a T. You know, Drake London's the outside boundary guy that's going to have some flanker responsibilities to be, you know, be the true number one. Mooney's, you know, he's your Z, I guess, in this case. That might be Rondale too, but Mooney's the second outside receiver. Should be more of your traditional nine.
Yeah.
Vertical double move guy, and Rondale is your short area, you know, part of the field, and he's going to be your gadgety type of player that can also do a lot after the catch. So it doesn't mean they won't go receiver in the draft, but I think this could take out wide receiver in the first round, especially at pick eight, and probably opens up to trading down even more.
Yeah, the Cousins.
Yeah, I totally like it, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you think, yeah, with adding Cousins there, like, we saw how Cousins was in Minnesota with the wide receivers. I mean, yeah, there's London's not a Justin Jefferson or a J.J. Jordan Addison.
Yeah, but he sure as hell could be an Adam Thielen.
Exactly. And then Darnell Mooney could be able to play the Adam Thielen role, where I think there's actually a bigger boost for Kyle Pitts than anything.
It is a big boost for Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts traded Cousins' number and just said, I want targets every game, which is a pretty easy ask for Kyle Pitts. But it's a big boost for Kyle Pitts. It should be a boost for Drake London, who has struggled with consistency over the early part of his career. Quarterback game could be a bump there. And I think you're going to see a second receiver have flex value on this team. We'll wait and see how that unfolds and how they want to use Mooney and Rondale Moore. But it'll be something to watch and pieces to watch. You're not running out and trading for either of those guys. I think there could be, you know, if there's a dip in London or dip in Pitts, maybe, but probably not after Cousins was signed. How do you feel about the Falcons as a whole, though, as you look at these skill positions now? And how much does Kirk Cousins change that? Because you've got now a backfield that's Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson with Kirk Cousins and Taylor Heinicke, which Heinicke is a really, really solid backup if Cousins is not ready to start the season. Like, they've got that protected, I think, with Taylor. You've got You've got Pitts, you've got London, you've got Moore, and you've got Mooney.
So I think the biggest addition to this, you're bringing on another, Sean McVay coaching tree type of move. Cousins is obviously very familiar with that type of coaching tree, just given he was just playing with, with Kevin O'Connell for the last couple of years. So there shouldn't be too much of a dip, depending on how much of an overlap there is between both playbooks, which is a huge win. Mooney is probably going to be, your best ball guy, because
Sending you
Achilles in.
30-cent cable.
Yeah.
You're good. I could hear you until you started messing with it again.
Yeah, it just happens. But anyways, this will be one of those offenses you're going to be looking to see how the ADP checks out. I'm not as high as most on it. I'm going to see how it all plays out, because the drop off from being able to throw to Jefferson, to Addison, to Hockenson, is it like this is not a one for one, one for one change. Yes, the moves for London and Pitts should be better, but this doesn't mean that the offense is completely revamped. It's going to be top 10, top 15. So
So
it's,
it is a complete change. I will give you that. But in 2015, 2016, so you brought it's not throwing to it, and it's not throwing to Jefferson or Addison or Hawk or anything like that. You still got good pieces, but could you make the argument that, this is something like throwing to guys like Jordan Reed and Pierre Garçon and Jamison Crowder and DeSean Jackson?
I mean, possibly, but this is also 9 years removed. This is also Cousins coming off of his own Achilles injury.
The Achilles injury is the bigger concern, I think, than age or being removed from the style that Kirk plays. I don't think he's shown
I'm not
any
saying these guys are going to be bad by any stretch.
signs of
This is,
regression. I'm just trying to help people get a frame. You had Garcon and Jackson, both 1,000-yard receivers. Crowder at 800. Jordan Reed. This is back when you had Rule 86 around. So, I mean, there's possibilities here.
I don't know if that, I don't even think this offense is as good as that offense. Let's off
I
like,
don't. That's what I was going to say. I don't think that you're going to have Mooney or Moore up in the 1,000-yard range, but the 800-yard range. Yeah, I think London will be a 1,000-yard receiver. You can get 600 yards out of Pitts and, decent all-purpose yards out of Bijan at the same time, right? So, I think that there's definitely
Plus,
upside to this offense.
they can still add a receiver in the draft,
Yeah.
right? This is
Yes.
obviously a
This is
pretty
just the start.
historic
draft class where if they go and they add a guy day one, day two, probably day two, it's changes it all. Because they still need a true traditional flanker. Maybe London would be that role, or a true traditional slot player, where I don't know if that's more, that should be his role.
Yeah. One other thing on this before I'm done with my piece. Do they surpass the Bucks? Are they on the same level as the Bucks, or are they still behind the Bucks in terms of this division?
It's a lot
I
closer.
mean,
I still have the
yeah,
Bucks,
I would
so.
say look how close it was, like, going into the playoffs last year, where it's like they were all within one game. I think they're still up, but I'd say maybe like up a half game.
Depends how the Bucks respond with all the losses they had in the coaching staffs.
So that's the same
Well, yeah,
level.
that's a real one. Coaching staff, because just because they did good, I could see the Bucks going down and Atlanta moving up.
They could. They absolutely, like, it's close, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'll jump the Atlanta side. I'll say yes, they did surpass them.
I think they're about same tier right now. Good teams have good succession plans for losing coaches. So,
Hopefully.
yeah,
Hopefully.
I'd put them on the same level. All right. Anything else on the Falcons before we move on to the Ravens?
No, I can move on.
All right, Ravens, bring in Justin. I'm going to butcher this in Badu in a
They should know that name.
Duke. I know that name. I can't pronounce that name.
With a bouquet?
Yeah, that one. Re-signed Nelson Aguilar. Their big move so far has been Derrick Henry in 2 years, $16 million, replacing Gus Edwards.
See that number 22 jersey in purple? I'm scared.
I'm glad it wasn't a massive overpay. It wasn't the Joe Mixon contract. We'll just say that. Spoiler, you know, when we get to Houston. But, you know, he is the third highest per, you know, per year. It's eight. It could go up to 10, I guess, you know, based on hitting milestones. And he is the perfect fit. Like there isn't a better running back fit than Henry playing alongside Lamar in this style of offense. It is hand in the glove. It is a perfect fit.
It's lethal.
It is a perfect fit for hopefully a 2 year run. But we're going to truly see how Henry responds to even more punishment onto his body.
Now, a lot of people in the dynasty world were high on Keaton Mitchell. Looked very, very good before he got hurt.
I still like Mitchell. He got volume. This is a great role for him, too.
That's what I was going to ask is, does this move the needle for you at all over the next couple of years, assuming Henry's going to get a good amount of volume and that your goal line work is going to be a lot of Henry and Lamar?
I mean, Mitchell's role is obviously going to be probably 8 to 12 touches a game. And you just hope he houses it, right? It's kind of like the Miami with, you know, Mostert and A-chain, but it's not going to be so skewed to one side. But Mitchell is the lightning to Henry's thunder here. And I say that all tongue-in-cheek, but it's a good match where Henry's going to wear them down. Obviously, you can use all the cliches you want, but this is, on paper, a very good backfield. They probably still need a true backup to Henry because Justice Hill is obviously not that. But this is a really good backfield right now.
Yeah, Justice Hill isn't that. Keaton Mitchell, I think, could have some value there. Derrick Henry, obviously, going to get the majority of the work. They'll probably practice squad somebody, a veteran or something.
They have four wide receivers on roster right now. Ravens, four.
They do. Bateman, Flowers, Tylan Wallace, and Sean Ryan.
Something named Sean Ryan. I don't trust people with two
first
names.
They got five. Nelson Aguilar's there.
Oh, Nelson Aguilar. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like him, I also fumbled, so it's fine.
Oh, good. All right. That's about all the Ravens have done. Let's move on to the Bills. The Bills, it's more about what they subtracted than what they've added. They brought back A.J. Epenesa, a two-year deal, $20 million. Actually, yeah, he was there at one point in time. It doesn't say he was re-signed, but if he went elsewhere, I missed it.
Same.
Daquan Jones is back. Nick Morrow's back, or linebacker, formerly with the Bears, I think. Deion Dawkins back on the line. Taylor Rapp comes in with a three-year extension. That's after they let Hoyer walk. Mac Hollins is in on a one-year deal after they let Gabe Davis walk. So really looking at what they've done here, they bring back Mitch Trubisky as the backup quarterback, and you've traded out Gabe Davis for Mac Hollins, which is a bit of a downgrade. It's all about cap management for the Bills.
They also added Curtis. They also added Curtis Samuel today, too. And at some point, KJ Hamler.
Really?
Yeah, he's also on the roster.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I know they added Isabella last year, but this is a bad room. This is a bad wide receiver.
Holy shit.
Diggs is fine. Yeah. I don't think Samuel and Shakur are going to be playing opposite of each other. I think they'll be playing for the same role. Mac Collins in this offense could be interesting. He may not be hyper-athletic, but he does work well downfield.
He was on KJ Hamler, was on Indy's practice squad, waived due to injury. Buffalo signed him as a free agent back in January.
Huh. See?
Also have Andy Isabella.
They do. I remember that from last year.
I don't see the Curtis Samuel thing, though, but that broke today. Like
it did. Right, it did break today. It was right alongside the Mixon news and and something else too.
3 years, $24 million. All the Bills are still looking for is a wide receiver too right now with with Samuel and Hollins. It's all they're looking for.
Shit, there might be a one at this point. I don't know if Diggs is a one anymore.
Other than
he
that,
is in this offense.
They haven't done much. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers.
Sure. They did a lot of movement.
They shipped out Brian Burns.
That was a hell of a trade.
Second and fifth, right?
Yeah. That was a hell of a steep from the two firsts they were offered just a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah, other than that, they bring in A'shaun Robinson, Josie Jewell, Dane Jackson, so some defensive help. They signed, let's see, Damian Lewis at guard, 4 years, $53 million. Robert Hunt at guard, 5 years, $100 million for a guard. They're trying to shore up.
Yeah, but he's the one that did a cartwheel.
Okay.
He almost scored a touchdown for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. They're trying to shore up the middle of the line there, though, which tells me that they're trying to fix their run game, which doesn't, I mean, I guess that helps a little bit for Bryce Young. I don't know. I don't know if the pressure was coming through the middle or not, but regardless, that's a lot of money to have tied up in interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Between those two.
Y'all said the Deontay Johnson.
That's what I was gonna end with. The Deontay Johnson trade. So they bring in Deontay Johnson from Pittsburgh. Johnson is, unless they draft somebody, once again gonna be miscast as a one.
I do like this move though, at least for Bryce early on. Yes. I know we dunk on Deontay, but
yeah, it's an improvement.
He's basically younger Adam. He's basically a younger Adam Thielen in this sense, where he's gonna get open, and he does it exceptionally well when he's healthy and when his hands work.
Yeah,
that's what Bryce needs though. He needs wide receivers that can create separation and get open.
Yeah,
and let Bryce get into rhythm early. The interior moves they made, offensive line could help with that. Maybe Bryce struggled with, you know, with that type of pressure up the middle. I obviously didn't watch a lot of Panthers games, but
neither.
I do really like the Deontay Johnson move to help give another veteran receiver for Bryce to throw to while he tries to right the ship from last year.
Ryan?
Did you say Ryan? Sorry, I was yawning.
Yeah, Ryan, your thoughts.
Looking for your thoughts on Deontay Johnson here,
perfect
bud.
Perfect timing.
Like, I had a big yawn. Also, my ears were popping. I'm like, oh, man. No, I actually like the Deontay Johnson addition because, I mean, Young's going to probably have to dump – or, yeah, Bryce is going to have to dump it. Young's have – or Johnson's a freaking PPR machine. So, short and sweet, that's the type of receiver he needs. And it was Jonathan Mingo didn't, like, turn out to be what we thought he was going to be or what many wanted him to be based on how early he was drafted. So, there's still time to tell. It's only been 1 year. But given adding Deontay Johnson with Adam Thielen is definitely a nice boost.
Yeah.
That, I mean, Young needs it because Young is, like, falling down from the number one overall pick and basically looking like a bus hazard right now. But this could be a rejuvenating year for him.
And they didn't give up a lot to get him either. It was a swap of late round picks. So I think the biggest thing here with Deontay coming in is just I just hope that they know they still got work to do, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's not a splash signing. It's a good signing. It's an upgrade over the aging Adam Thielen and over Terrace Marshall and Jonathan Mingo, who are bigger outside threats. It's a different level that they haven't had because they haven't really had a lot of going for them from tight end in the receiving game. So it gives them a level of depth that they probably needed, but they still got things to solve in the running game. Maybe those 2 yards help that. It looks like they've got their interior line pretty shored up. You know, you buy Bryce time, but they've still got work to do. They need a playmaker on offense. They need a difference-making playmaker on offense, and that's what I see missing from them.
They still have two top 50 picks in the draft. They have 2 seconds. They have their third round pick still, and they have their fourth round pick, which gives them 4 picks in the top 100. Definitely a lot of room to add another receiver. Maybe as Hopper mentioned, with the move to bolster the offensive line, especially the interior line, that's right in that range. Maybe they go over or Maybe they go running back, and obviously they have to replace, try to replace Brian Burns, at, you know, in this case. So,
yeah,
they're making sound moves. I'll say that.
They are.
They may have overpaid for Hunt in terms of what the contract looked like, but you also got to remember they added $13 million to everyone's cap, and you're going to have probably bigger, you know, shit move the next couple of years too.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing with that too is when I go and look at their line, I don't know how they PFF graded or anything, but they spent draft capital here. Taylor Moten, yeah, and Ekwonu, both high round draft picks. Taylor Moten has been there since 2017, starting at right tackle. They used to have really, really good offensive line. So maybe those were just the two, like Austin Corbett signed from the Rams last year, was on IR for the back part of the season. So, I mean, you could make the case that, okay, this is where they felt they needed to shore up the offensive line, having the other three pieces solidified, so they're going to spin there. With a QB on a rookie deal, they're going to bring in Deontay Johnson, which is an upgrade, and, you know, see if Dave Canales, who's also an addition to this, can come in and make the offense operate as better than the sum of its parts. So, the only other one's interesting to watch. It's going to be a lot of eyes on Bryce Young. Moving on to the Bears.
The Bears.
All right. Around the edges here, Jalen Johnson re-signed. Hell of a good cornerback. They get him re-signed at 4 years and $76 million. They bring in Ryan Bates via trade. We talked about that a little bit ago. Gerald Everett, 2 years, $12 million to back up Cole Kmet. So that's a solid depth tight end signing. They bring in Mr. Simone Biles at safety, along with Kevin Byard at safety. So Jonathan Owens will be depth here. Kevin Byard is the Eddie Jackson replacement at 2 years, $15 million, to play next to Brisker. Brisker was hurt a decent amount last year, so the Owens signing makes a lot of sense. He started the Packers last season, so definitely needed depth. Brett Rypien comes in for some reason. They signed Coleman Shelton as a center, so trying to rework the offensive line a little bit, even though the offensive line hasn't been terrible. Solidifying the God, get in bed and read. Solidifying the defense, which is the defense is pretty good since adding Sweat and pass rusher. We didn't talk about DeAndre Swift. Comes into the Bears on a three-year deal, $24 million. I haven't looked at the structure of that yet to see what's guaranteed and what isn't. But in any event,
the first move made, literally.
It was the first move.
Seconds after it started, it's almost like there was negotiations prior to.
Nobody would do that through an athletic trainer.
No teams ever do that. Ever.
I gotta do call it legal tampering. That's what blows my mind. It's like legal tampering. It's like, what? Come on. They've been tampering this whole entire time.
Bears have a good out in the last year of this deal. They can cut him after the 2025 season with just $1.3 million in dead cap. So
it's a good move.
He just wants to play the Lions. He just wants to play against them.
As the NFC North just continues to rotate their running backs.
You draft Gibbs, I'll show you what's up.
The Bears needed to improve their running game from their backs, not from Fields, but from their actual running backs. We missed David Montgomery last year. That was a noticeable absence.
And that's one surprise name that, you know, we don't haven't heard much on, is, as you said, is Justin Fields. You know, it's like now what happens with them, because all these players are being traded, signed. And the whole Justin Fields sweepstakes is falling behind.
That's fine. You trade out of the first round pick. And that's what I hope they're trying to do, because, like, we'll get into this more in a couple of weeks, but Caleb Williams has some significant red flags. And if you can get out of that, then get out of that. They're going to be looking for future first to do it and hope it lands somewhat like the Panthers did, or at least gives them the draft capital to move back up should they have to do that after this. But I think what they're figuring out is that that first round pick is going to be valued a lot higher than Fields is trying to move it. And with some of the red flags that we can perceive, I won't say they're real, I'm going to say that we can perceive around Caleb Williams, you get the higher return at that point, depending on how they feel about it. So we hear a lot about Fields every day without really hearing anything about Fields.
Right,
It's all
exactly.
speculation. It's been
And
it's.
that may not be put to rest until draft night.
I think at this point, I think after how the first day went and how Monday went, that was pretty obvious. I personally think at this point, he's going to get a Trey Lance type of deal. That's what is going to end up being the case, which opens up a lot of teams maybe trying to trade for him to let him sit, a la. With what happened with Lance, but I think that could happen with Fields too, trying to find teams that have question marks on their quarterback spot after this year. So,
The biggest difference is that San Francisco had an answer when that situation came up.
true, true. They also got dick for him, and we also criticized them for how long they waited. We also don't know. We also really don't know if Pace. It's always been reported at Pace Pulse. It's always been reported that he did or did not try to shop him, or has tried or has not tried to shop him. But
Everything's been reported.
it's been
Every
it's
part of both sides
literally
of this has been reported. So,
every angle has been talked about, and it's we'll see.
but you know what, Bears
Well,
fan, every Bears fan's talking about the quarterback, and at the same time, she's like, all right, it's going to be Justin Fields or it's going to be Caleb Williams. Those are the two possibilities. Both have question marks, both have upside. So, it doesn't really change how you view the offseason, I think, as a Bears fan for me. There are things that I've been critical on Fields of. There are things that I don't like about Caleb Williams, mostly shit that can't be quantified on tape or in stats. Well, I guess it can on some tape, but not of football playing. So there you go. It's gonna be Brett Rypien. That's why they signed him.
yeah, let's hope
Not
not.
Tyson Bagent, apparently.
But anyway, it's a good signing for Swift behind an offensive line that we know that they're trying to rework, behind a team that brings in an offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron that we know likes the running game. So, similar scenario for him was last year. All right, Bengals. So their biggest move is again what they also shipped out. They ship out Joe Mixon, and we'll just jump right on this. They ship out Joe Mixon. They bring in Zach Moss. And right now it's Zach Moss, Chase Brown. Moss, obviously very unsuccessful with the Bills, had some good games with the Colts. Chase Brown got some run at the end of the year and looked decent. Bengals running game. Let's dissect that one. We will talk about Mixon when we get down to the Texans.
Chase Brown's better than Zach Moss. You heard it here first.
Chase Brown is better than Zach Moss. You heard it here second.
I forgot what type of
Ditto,
deal they gave him
ditto.
too.
They gave him a 2-year, $8 million deal.
Yeah, they gave
It's
him
not a lot.
nothing. That's
He's no. It's
tiny.
change of pace.
It's come in and be a banger and a short yardage back and compete maybe a little bit. We got a lot of depth backs here. Don't be surprised if they draft another one and take a hot hand approach. But Chase Brown,
Probably a
great.
pass catcher. Not a lot of pass catchers. I mean, Chris Evans, I guess, technically, maybe.
Well, Chase Brown has a pass catching background, but he's not dynamic out
Yeah.
there. I mean, he caught a lot. Like Chase Brown caught a lot of passes in college. He can
He was
do.
Illinois' offense.
Yeah, he can do. Like he is an all-purpose back. He's just not hyper efficient in his yak. Think of it like Rashad White.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, sure. I still think they'll add. That'll be the probably the type of position that they'll fill. I mean,
Oh,
again, I still
probably.
think Brown beats out Zach Moss and hopefully starts, and Moss is just a spellbacker, just ends up getting cut. But
I just think they get another lottery ticket.
take his
Who, what
money.
back do we like the
Yeah.
most, regardless of which way? And Let it
True.
run. Mike Gesicki comes in at tight end here. 1 year, 3.25 million.
I still think they're gonna. I mean, like, wouldn't it be great to see like Brock Bowers just go there? Like, yeah, I feel like they've been trying so hard at this tight end thing. Like Mike Gesicki, yeah, it's a good story, but it's just like 1 year, 3.25 million. That's nothing. That's like backup money.
It's less than Gerald Everett got.
It's one of two tight ends. It's just him and Sample. They're probably going tight end again at some point, probably in day three. I don't know
And
what picks they
Sample got
have,
more
but
years and more money, but Sample's a proven blocker.
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Mike
just that
Gesicki's just athletic idiot. That's all he is.
he'll get a chance, but watch them. Watch what they do. Anything else on Cincy before we go to Cleveland?
Higgins is franchise tag. Ass is asked to seek a trade.
Okay.
But we know how that works. He's on the Bengals next year. Just deal with it, Higgins.
1 year, $21.8 million is what
Oh
the
yeah,
contract would be.
I forgot about that. Yeah. No, that's I said that when I was in the car too, and I heard that get mentioned. I was kind of like, okay, well, this happens all the time, and they'll work it out. He's gonna be a Bengal.
He'll be a Bengal. I
Oh
mean, maybe he gets booed draft day,
yeah. Unless
but
they get blown away by something, he'll be a Bengal.
I think if he gets moved, it's on draft day.
Yep. All right, Browns. Not a lot to talk about here. Linebacker Jordan Hicks, edge rusher is Za'Darius Smith, come in for an already good defense. We already talked about the Jerry Jeudy move. That was last week. So really, it's Jameis Winston coming in a 1-on-1 year deal with $4 million to take the Flacco role. That's it.
Cool.
Cool.
Take the Watson role.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe you can just start. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we're gonna be
Yeah,
able to
for yep.
jump through a good amount of these pretty quick. The Cowboys have not done a damn thing. Eric Kendricks on a 1 year deal.
And a long snapper.
I laugh so fucking
And a
hard.
long
Dallas is on
snapper.
absolutely nothing, and their fans have just freaked out about it.
They have done nothing. Denver Broncos have also not done a lot of anything yet, other than releasing Wilson. They bring back Will Lutz. They bring back little Jordan Humphrey. Just because
A lot of small contracts.
we gotta get a little Jordan Humphrey mention in every now and again.
You do. It's our boo.
Lions making moves where the Lions should be making moves. Graham Glasgow comes guard. That's a re-sign, right?
That's
Glasgow?
a re-sign, yes.
That's what I
Yeah.
thought.
Yep. He's a re-sign.
Sorry, I don't remember everybody on every team, but yes, I thought
God damn
so.
it, Hopper.
Emmanuel Mosley re-signed. Carlton Davis comes in via trade with the Buccaneers. So
I love that.
secondary help with Davis. Yeah, I like that too, because that's one of the things the Lions need to get to the next level is secondary help.
You know what, and it pushes Sutton to the two because Sutton proved to be not a true
Yeah.
number one cornerback. So putting Carlton Davis there is definitely going to be a nice boost for the Lions off our defense here.
It makes them better. So, signed another quarterback, Amik Robertson. I don't know a lot about him. Badgley's back with them. So, Lions, maybe a little bit of wide receiver depth, maybe a little bit of. Well, defense.
They have
Really what they
Traquan Smith
need.
now.
Oh, good. Good for
Yeah.
them.
Hey. I do. They still have Agent Tom Kennedy.
All right, Packers. This one matters. Xavier McKinney brought in at safety for them. They'll replace Jonathan. That's an upgrade over Jonathan Owens.
Big
Corey
upgrade.
Ballantyne re-signed. Josh Jacobs, 4 years, $48 million. That's the biggest one. Is AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones both on their way out?
Is Josh Jacobs really better than Aaron Jones?
Age-wise, yes.
Age, you get younger, sure.
Yeah.
But is he still better than him? Is he? Because they gave him a lot of money too.
I would say
I mean,
yes.
ugh.
Yeah, I
I
think
think
he.
Jones is. I think Jones is a better back.
Well, here, let me go look at this because there are a lot of metrics I can use to make this decision.
There is.
Like based on the metrics that put Josh Jacobs into the offense and being the new Aaron Jones. I love Josh Jacobs a lot this season going into
I love
2024.
this move for me having Josh Jacobs shares
Let's take a look.
because
Yes.
AJ Dillon is not going to do anything but steal targets because that's just what happens to Josh Jacobs. He just loses targets to backup running backs. Like it just happens. But like he doesn't have like he's teed up. They paid him well. This is a far better offense than he played in last year. And a lot more scoring opportunity and Jordan Love doesn't Like, he doesn't scramble. He doesn't extend the play to run or scramble. He wants to get the ball out. And that should, again, be a big benefactor to Jacobs.
All right, here's a breakdown for things that I think matter. One, volume-wise, Jacobs had the highest opportunity share and an incredibly high snap share compared to Aaron Jones, but giving him that kind of money,
that's
that
more
should,
offense
that
than
should
them,
shift. Yeah, that is more offense, but again, Jacobs going into a different offense, if they decide to use their backs in a similar way, you could definitely see volume reduction. That's worth noting. I'm not saying that will happen, but it's
No, I know.
For sure a possibility. Let's see. Beyond that, Jacobs is the better receiver. That should not be a surprise to anybody. By a good amount, so you get a bump up there. Running efficiency, though, this is where I really want to look. So, let's see. 3 yards per carry, edge goes to Aaron Jones. Yards per touch, to Aaron Jones. Juke rate, Aaron Jones, evaded tackles. Jacobs had more, but that's a counting stat. He had more touches, if that makes sense. Breakaway run rate to Aaron Jones. Breakaway runs, best ball points, blah, blah, blah. What run blocking rating? Okay, there's the big jump. That's what I think Ryan saw in life. The run blocking rating. Packers were 46th. Or sorry, the Raiders were 46th. The Packers were 14th. So a lot of those efficiency stats for Jacobs being down. He was also fourth in stacked front given that offense. You know, you're going to get a lot higher efficiency out of Josh Jacobs. Let me go look at the 2022 season real quick. That's better. That's better. That is, he was 11th in juke rate. There, unmotivated tackles, much better breakaway run rate. Yeah. I would say that I like Jacobs more than Aaron Jones in this offense by a couple ticks. Not by a lot, but by a couple ticks for sure.
Yes.
Sorry. You just heard my whole process there while I'm making that decision. But Jacobs can't be better than Jones in that offense, I think is where I land with
I
that.
Mean, I think it's the age. I do think Jones is a better player, but Jacobs is younger, and he's proven to be able to handle the heavy workload in which pack. Just Green Bay never really wanted to give Jones in the first place, and that's through multiple coaching changes. So I guess we'll get a chance to kind of see it when we talk about Jones in Minnesota here in a little bit, but I mean, obviously, Josh, you know, Jacobs is still going to be a fine RB2 with some RB1
upside. I think
he's
RB1.
To him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be RB1. I don't see RB2. I see RB1 upside. All RB1 right here.
I do too.
I still think RB2, but yeah, I could see RB2.
We'll see
upside.
How things shake out, but he's probably going to be an RB1 for me. All right, Texans. Joe Mixon comes in a trade from the Bengals. It's an upgrade over Singletary, and then they immediately overpaid him at 3 years and $29 million.
A $9 million annual. That's just bad. Why?
The thing with
Mixon, running backs are getting paid. But running backs are getting paid this offseason right now.
Oh, it's so dumb, well, but okay.
That just goes to tell you how they feel about the free agents, or not free agents, but the rookie class.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money told us what all we need to know of all the NFL thought about the rookie running backs.
Yeah, it did, because you have not seen this the last couple of years.
No.
But for Mixon going into Houston, I will just say this. It's not an upgrade offensively for Mixon. It is for Houston. For Mixon,
this is a downgrade in offense.
It's neutral to a downgrade.
Healthy,
yeah, since he's healthy.
Since he's healthy, this is a downgrade in offense.
And even when they were, he's not a hyper-efficient back.
No.
So he's not, you know, he does some things well, but he, the Bengals felt good enough about letting him go, and the writing had been on the wall. So, yeah, it's Mixon will still be Mixon, is how I see this. It doesn't really move a whole lot for me.
From what I saw, too, from what I saw people post about it on Twitter, it's also not a scheme fit to.
Yeah.
Which just again makes me laugh, but hey, maybe they'll change it.
I don't know shit all about that, but
they should change it if they're gonna pay him fucking $9 mil a year for 3 years.
Yep. Let's see. Dalton Schultz, 3 years, $36 million. He's back because he's Alshier there. Danico Autry, Jeff Okuda is now there. Daniel Hunter, 2 years, $49 million. Upgrades that I like him on the other side of Anderson.
I mean, they let the other one go to Minnesota. They just swapped edges.
Yep.
They paid a little less. He's a little bit older, but Hunter, when he's fully healthy, is one of the best pass rushers in football.
Yep. All right, Colts. Not a lot to talk about here. Pittman resigned. We already talked about that last week. Zaire Franklin, Kenny Moore resigned. Kenny Moore has resigned. Rigoberto Sanchez resigned. Joe Flacco finds a home there. 1 year, $8.7 million, replacing Gardner Minshew as the backup.
Flacco went there. I missed that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Apparently they do. So Flacco's going to be the backup for Richardson, I guess.
Okay, I guess.
Makes sense.
Completely different players. Completely different.
Well, so we're Minshew and Richardson, and with the resurgence.
Minshew had at least a little bit of athleticism to him still.
Well, that's fair.
I said a little bit. Doesn't have the arm. At least Flacco has a big arm still.
Yeah. Jaguars, Gabe Davis goes there. 3 years, $39 million for Gabe Davis, replacing Ridley.
That's a true wide receiver three contract. Good for Santa Claus to go be in an offense like Jacksonville.
He'll get some
maybe deep. He'll hit.
He hits. He's already hit.
No, so maybe he'll hit there better.
Yeah, more consistently. We'll see. Gabe Davis still going to Gabe Davis. I have that. I feel that deep in my bones, but I think maybe it's a better fit.
It's the same role. I can't see the role being any different.
I can't
from
either.
Buffalo to Jacksonville.
He'll still be Gabe
like
Davis.
Davis isn't a volume receiver. He's not a great hands receiver, but he's one of the best vertically. Like that, I'll speak positives when positives are true. Davis is a very good deep ball receiver, and that's kind of what they needed. So,
indeed. Other than that, Mac Jones acquired and traded from the Patriots, so he'll be backing up for Lawrence to start.
So. This is interesting because obviously they have to decide on both players, him and Lawrence, Jones and Lawrence.
Oh, fifth year option.
Fifth year. Now, obviously they're not going to pick up Mac, but this could bring up some interesting conversations of what they want to do with Lawrence. I think they're going to pick up his fifth year, but it's not guaranteed. And Jones is not a starter, but probably a fine bridge QB. This might be their insurance to grab their bridge QB for dirt cheap.
If Lawrence isn't the answer and Mac wants another chance of his career after that fiasco in New England last little bit, which is not entirely his fault, then yeah, I think so. It's a smart move by Jacksonville.
I thought it was a fantastic move by them.
This could be like the Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
Yeah.
With Mac Jones, you know, like the new up to date one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Mitch Morse signed at center, so solidify that a little bit. 2 years, $10.5 million. Darnell Savage goes there. They brought back Dearness Johnson. Devin Duvernay goes there to Jacksonville on a 1 year deal. I don't hate that either.
Special teamer? Yeah.
Special teams for sure. Yep.
Darby and Eric Armstead. Hell. What's Jacksonville's depth chart look like right now? Because I would like Duvernay with more volume than Baltimore ever gave him.
I mean, he's going to be firmly behind, say, Jones and
it's Kirk
Watson
Jones,
and
Gabe
Davis,
Davis.
And he'll be competing with Parker Washington and guys like that. Like his role is to be there. It's to play special teams. It's really good special teams. Jacksonville's probably still lining up the draft receiver this year. They still need a number one on this team. I'll say that, but.
They do.
They have a collection of twos and threes and some fours.
And they got rid of one of them even. We'll talk about that contract in a bit, which I think is the worst one for
you. That is the worst contract. That worse than Cousins.
All right. Kansas City
Great trend, though.
Yeah, right.
Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of around the edges things. Stone Cold Chris Jones back there, 5 years, $160 million. Legarius Sneed on the transition tag. Drew Tranquil. I love Drew Tranquil, by the way. Just, dude does everything. He's back there. Irv Smith on a 1 year deal. And the punt god. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yep.
All right.
Chris Jones, man, the highest not paid quarterback.
Yeah.
He's earned it.
Good job for him. He earned it. He bet on himself. That he did. His holdout did exactly what holdouts are supposed to do. They got him in on a high salary 1 year deal, and then he earned his bag.
You love it. Every time I see a player get his bag, I love it. I mean, I love the contracts at times, but I'll always root for them.
And he's a
likable guy. And it was Kansas City that paid for him.
And he's a likable guy.
Yeah.
That too. Did we lose him?
On to Vegas? I think so.
No, you didn't lose me. Sorry. I'm not sharing audio, am I?
No.
Oh.
Confused. I was like, what the fuck?
Sorry, guys.
I was like, Vegas?
I just assumed. No, we're good.
Here, hold on.
God damn it. Who put the question mark on the telemarketer?
You know he'll read whatever we put on there.
That better?
Yes.
Yeah, you have an idea now?
I know what's happening.
I said telemarketer instead of teleprompter. What an idiot.
I let it go. All right. I'm drinking Baphomet Bock beer from Revolution, and unsurprisingly, it's really good. Rich malt, residual sweetness, bready, caramely, toasty. Just over 6.5%. There is some impression of heat, but it's not hot by any means. It's got good body to it, and you can just get a little bit of, like, alcohol smells fruity sometimes. There's a little bit of fruity notes there. A little bit fruity. Yeah, overall, really drinkable, though. I could probably drink three more of these and regret it later. So
probably.
Good job, Revolution. And I love seeing people do things that aren't just IPAs and barrel-aged stouts. So was happy to see them do something a little different in distribution than what we normally get. It's the other thing, a lot of these beers that we get on the show that seem like they do one thing well, it's not because that brewery only does one thing. It's because you only distribute what you're going to sell. So it's kind of nice to get to try a different wrinkle from people.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, go ahead, because we know what
we don't need to talk too much about Coors Light. So
no.
Again, I'm drinking Phase 3. This is their Irish red ale. Gonna have a really good malt characteristics to it. Get a little bit of nuttiness, a little bit of sweetness, a little more on the sweeter end again from the styles that I typically like. Not as much as the Hailstorm that I had last week, but this one is definitely on the good end. And this is just a really good solid ale, just in general. So yeah, if you like overly malty with some sweetness, some nuttiness, obviously the breadiness is there because it's heavily malted. Look to pick this up if you're in the Midwest area. Ryan, tell us about Coors Light. How great it is it? Yeah. How great is it not?
How great is it not is I'm already on my third one and I'm already almost done with it. So
that's the point.
Ungreatness thing of it is it takes a lot for me to drink of them, but it's because it's very light, not very malty, not very many hops, a little bit of a grassy taste.
It's water.
Yeah, it's beer flavored water.
That's right.
It's great because
you can drink cold. Six of them and not even realize it.
Yeah, and it's cold.
It's cold.
The mountains are blue on these things. So that's all I can say on it. When the mountains are blue, drink it. If not, don't.
You're my boy, Blue. The Chargers are trading Keenan Allen to the Bears.
What?
The Chargers Shut are the trading Keenan Allen to the Bears for a fourth round pick.
You're shitting me.
Nope. That's our boy Keith Kyle. My boy Keith Kyle in the group chat.
Oh my
No
God, yeah.
fucking, no fucking way.
Jade, reported by Jay Glazer.
Yeah.
For a fourth round pick. Wow.
Holy
Ooh.
hell.
Chargers are indeed going wide receiver at pick five.
They're
That's confirmed now.
rejuveling. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. Let's go back to the Bears real quick.
That, yeah, let's. Can we? Can we? Can we? Can we? Can we? Can
Yes,
we? Can we? Can
absolutely.
Hopper's so
I am
excited.
fucking scared in the NFC North outside of Minnesota Vikings because they
Oh,
don't count.
my
Damn, Ryan.
God. Are the Bears finally fucking loaded? This is the best receiver tandem the Bears have had since Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey.
Right?
And just you wait, because they still have pick nine.
And they
And
still
one.
have pick
If when they
nine.
add Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze to this team.
Yeah.
Oh,
Marvin Harrison
baby.
Jr., number one overall pick right now. I can see it already. They're going for him.
That's good.
That's
Fuck Caleb Williams. Fuck
maybe.
trading down, because that's the smart move.
Maybe that's why the Chargers want to move up. Maybe the Chargers want to move up and then back. Who knows? But in any
Whoever
event.
the quarterback is there, this is a very strong wide receiver. This is a exceptionally strong
Wide
duel of
receiver, yeah.
receivers you get to throw to.
Yep.
Yeah,
And
because
again,
who's
like
the outside now with Mooney gone?
the other one,
Not on the team yet.
not on the team yet. Yeah, that's what I
Yeah,
was gonna
Marvin
say.
Harrison's not on the
As of
team yet. He's
today,
not
it
going to
would
be there at
as
nine.
of today, it would be
Nabers?
Tyler Scott right now.
Oof.
So
Yeah.
you're looking Nabers or Dunsey.
Could be
Either
round two
way,
guy.
yeah.
There's
No,
enough.
I guess I'm going round one.
There's enough field stretchers like.
Oh, they're gonna go fucking. They're gonna go Worthy, Mitchell or Thomas. They're gonna go for some speed.
Oh my God, if they went with Worthy with this.
They're gonna throw some speed on that. I mean, they just lost Mooney, their speed guy. I mean,
They
Moore
went
is also
didn't
exceptionally fast
No,
for,
they need speed. That's literally what they need now because they've got your possession guy and DJ Moore. You've got your slot guy, Adrian slot guy that can still do it in Keenan Allen. Now you need speed and you need somebody that will give these guys volume.
You need someone to put pressure on the secondary. Moore can do that, but Moore is your flanker, right? He plays the Jeffrey piece like a
Yes.
true modern
Great.
age one, where he's going to run intermediate, short to intermediate routes out of the
Who's still out
outside
there?
and slot spot, because he's that good of a guy. You still want a speed guy, and I don't know if it'll be Worthy, but because he's going to be a first round pick, I as a Bears fan, I would hope you don't want to see him at pick nine, but.
No,
Maybe
but you
round
could
two if he makes
see.
it, or we look in the draft and you look for other speeder guys that can work deep.
There are fast guys. I'm trying to pull it right now to see who's still available too, because
There's a lot of fast wires. There's
oh,
a lot
yeah.
of
A
fast
lot
receivers.
available. Well, that's kind of where I'm at, because isn't like Hollywood still out there, right?
Has he been?
I
I
thought
don't think
Holly
he's been
I thought he
signed.
was I don't think he's been signed.
I don't think so. And he could be. I still think rookie, because you also want to look beyond this year.
You do, but you could do both, right? If you got a rookie that you think needs to
And they got a
develop
lot
and
of money still, so they
you
definitely could.
sign some depth, then you can do both. I'm waiting for it to load here.
Breaking news on the air.
Ooh,
Like,
wait.
I'm actually surprised of trading Keenan Allen when they just restructured, Jesus Christ, I cannot speak tonight. Restructured Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. I thought those two would have been traded.
I think it's the right time to trade them. I mean, they probably should have moved them last year, where it was very clear the team was not going in the right direction because of all the injuries. But you bring in Harbaugh, you bring in his style with what he wants to do. You're gonna age down. It was probably the right time to move Keenan, because you
Yeah.
don't want to risk him getting hurt before the deadline.
Roman Wilson
Because
there now.
who knows if the Chargers? Yeah, I mean, fuck if Harrison makes it past the Patriots and the Cardinals at 3 and 4. Might be Harrison at five. That's the furthest he falls until a team trades up.
Yeah.
Or Nabers, because I fucking love them both. And Odunze, but Odunze probably won't. Most teams have Nabers ahead of Odunze.
Nah, current Chargers right now, too, Josh Palmer is in the best spot.
Oh my God. You know what you can do now? This is God's gift to you for drafting Quentin Johnston. No, you can trade him. The window's there.
Actually, yeah, you
It's
probably
no
do.
matter what, he's still the second outside receiver, because that's how bad this team is.
Yep,
The window is open.
you
They
got to
let Mike
win.
Williams go.
You did. right now, well, Josh Palmer's outside, right?
Probably. Yeah,
Yes.
I Johnson might be. Yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
he's
know
an
really what. I
outsider.
think he's outside inside. He just sucks in general.
Palmer is your out is so before the Allen trade, Darius Davis was the Allen bat was the other slot guy, and then it was Palmer and Johnston on the outside before the releases. This is good for Josh Palmer.
I think this is really good for the rookie receivers they bring in.
It's also really good for Josh Palmer.
I don't
Yeah.
believe in Josh Palmer or Quinn Johnson. I think they're just going to draft three receivers and
At
just be like, here we
least,
go, reset.
well, Josh Palmer's produced, right? That's
Yeah,
he's
he's done better than Quinn.
produced.
That's I'll say
He's
that.
produced when he's had to. He's better than Mike Williams, too.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
Does he? Hold on, I want to look at this now.
Mike's been productive in that number
He's a
two
he,
role.
yeah, but he was a $20 million cap hit.
Yeah, I mean, it was the right call to move. I'm not saying that it was
Yeah.
bad to cut him. It was smart to cut him. Again, this is a team that wants to reset the roster. Like the Justin Herbert trade incoming. Harbaugh wants to get his guy, JJ. He's gonna just draft Michigan players and just recreate the Wolverines in football.
Maybe, but yeah, spot track's down right now, so I can't really pull up
I wouldn't, yeah, I wouldn't, yeah. Don't have
available
to look
free
too
agents.
hard into that, but we'll
Either
obviously have a
way,
lot more information come the draft with what the
yeah.
LA receiving room looks like.
I was looking up who was still available for the Bears to go sign speed wise, but Hollywood Brown's the best thing you can come up with, which
And you may not too, like, because
my
they could also
God.
still go big boundary receiver that can also, like, you go out and get a guy who looks
Yeah.
like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Brian Thomas would fit that role perfectly,
They can just
like be hit like
jump
him.
ball it. Yeah.
Yeah.
See if I can find it a different. I really want to know now. I'm just excited. Does Yahoo have something for me? No. And it's terrible. KJ Osborne's a free agent.
Oh,
I wouldn't. He's not a speed demon. He can play
He's not.
outside,
I was
but
just making an
yeah.
acknowledgement of KJ Osborne.
But Gabe Davis going to Chicago would have looked real great right now.
Right? It's all right. Mike Williams is available. We'll sign him and just I'll cry a little bit. I love
Watch
that.
Mike Williams just sign back with the Chargers.
Yeah. All right, Raiders. Got to get back on track here after that
Yeah,
little
please. Yeah, sorry.
pants explosion because I love that. All right, back on track. 4 years, 110 million to Christian Wilkins. Gardner Minshew comes in 2 years, 25 million. He competing with AOC right now.
Yeah, he might be the starter. I mean, I know our lad still has him as the backup, but
I think he's
I
a...
think this is truly camp competition. There's no way you can just say that it's AOC's job. Maybe right now,
No.
but
This is a competition, and the deal is Bridgie.
yeah.
It's high backup
Yeah.
money, Bridgie. To bridge quarterback, and Minshew's perfect for that role. He's a modern day Case Keenum, modern day Taylor Heineke, modern day
I like it.
Tyrod Taylor.
But
No, I like it. Minshew's the one to watch here in Superflex QB2. If he wins the job outright. They should win enough games to not be in a high draft pick next year.
also only
So,
has five receivers on roster.
yeah.
So I'll look them to continue to add receivers to this room.
What are the five?
Raiders. Adam Jacobs and Trey Tucker, their rookie from last year, are your starting three with Christian Wilkerson and DJ Turner as your penciled in backups right now.
That means that Hunter Renfrow is still hanging out in free agency somewhere, too.
Yes.
Also, not a speed guy by any means. Don't need him.
No. Might be the opposite of speed him.
He is 100%. Want him to go somewhere he can get volume anyway. Chargers, I mean, no, whatever it's worth. Got the Eckler's left. Like, they're about to start rebuilding. It almost feels like they're about to start retooling around Herbert completely. You Eckler's gone, Allen's gone, Williams is gone. They bring in Will Disley, 3 years, 14 million. Gus Edwards, 2 years, 6.5 million. Gus, is your inside track at starting right now?
This team looks fucking terrible.
It does.
Without, like, you subtract Keenan from this team, that leaves him with four wide receivers. Four on roster right now. Disley and Darnell Parham are tight ends.
Yeah.
And Gus and Spiller as your running backs. This might be the worst. This might be the worst offer. I feel fucking bad for Herbert. Maybe they will fucking move Herbert at this point. Like, what's the point? This is what you gave him.
Yeah.
Nah,
If
they
I'm
won't
him, I'm
move him.
pissed. If I'm him, I'm not happy.
Unless they're putting someone else there. That's like, I mean, if it's out receiver, is it Brock Bowers? Oh.
Mean, Bowers, you have round two, round three guys you can go after. I still think they're in a prime spot to trade back. I mean,
Go
this
offensive line
offense
there.
looks bad.
It looks
Because they
bad.
have bad contracts. It was bad contracts. I mean, they had to get rid of them.
Well, that's it. You come in with a vision, right? And that's what it comes down to. You've got bad contracts, and if you want to retool and get rid of the issue that you've had with underperforming, you got to first get rid of contracts and give yourself cap space and maneuverability. And you know, we don't know what the interview with Harbaugh was like here, but maybe you didn't sell him on a first year turnaround. Maybe it was a longer term plan, right? They've got now. I don't know. There's no way this is updated already.
What?
There, fucking quick if this is updated already. It's already
I doubt
updated.
it. Oh,
No, it's
wow.
already, they did already update it. Holy crap. They are on it. They've got 23 million in cap space now. I don't know what they had before. They got 23
Negative
million.
22.
Yeah, so they're at 23 million in cap space now.
So they made over 40 million in cap space.
I'm fairly certain if I'm reading this right.
Yeah, if I mean, because before I remember looking
Yeah.
before, prior to the Mike Williams drop, they were at like 21, 22 million over the cap.
Yep. So 23 million in cap space, good defensive pieces to build around, good offensive pieces to build around. They're just going to have to build around them a little bit. But getting that cap space, I think, is big for them to turn this thing over. They have their full complement of picks this year to play with. You know, Harbaugh's going to get a chance to do this how he wants to do it. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, this is about as obvious today as that. Like, he gets to recreate, especially the offense. He gets to just recreate the offense in which he sees fit outside of Herbert.
This is what the current wide receiver room in the Los Angeles looks like. Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer, Darius Davis, Simo Fiocco.
So I said four receivers, four.
Four.
That's it.
And
That's
there's
it.
no two or one on this. There's no one or two on this team.
Yeah, no, there are or three.
Yep. All right. Gonna keep this moving.
Sorry.
Because we can, well, no, we can beat up on the Chargers as much as we want. We still got other people, the other things to get through. I think
We
we'd
got
kick
teams to beat up
or
on,
I
other
think we'd
teams.
kick that dead horse enough. Rams haven't really done anything to Marcus Robinson, 1 year deal. Colby Parkinson, 3 years, 22.5 million is the Gerald Everett replacement, backup tight end. Brought in a couple guards, so
Yeah, both the offensive line and needed it.
it did badly. Traded their center, brought in two guards, trying to fix the offensive line. That was a weakness for them. Moving on, Miami Dolphins, Jonnu Smith, 2 years, 10 million. Love that move. Think he fits this offense incredibly well. He was going back to Florida, productive with the Falcons. We'll have a chance to be productive again in a good offense that, you know, seemed to struggle a little bit with, you know, with injuries or, you know, at times just trying to have track meets for everything. Jonnu Smith gives them another layer here, my opinion.
Yeah, I thought they've had a really good off season.
Other than that, Anthony Walker, 1 year deal. Jordan Poyer comes in at safety on a 1 year, $2 million deal. That's a great signing by them. Great value on that. Shaq Barrett, 1 year, $9 million. Kendall Fuller coming in there on 2 years, $16.5 million. So some moves on defense too. Some good role players coming in there.
This is them making a run.
Yeah,
these
they should be.
1 year deals for veteran, especially on the defense, because they lost some defensive pieces. This is that move.
Yep. Minnesota Vikings. Jonathan Greenard, 4 years, $76 million, replacing Daniil Hunter. Blake Cashman, 3 years, 25. Andrew Van Ginkle, 2 years, 20. So some pass rush work. Sam Darnold, 1 year, $10 million. Quarterback situation without Cousins there.
Your current starting quarterback.
Your current starting QB.
I like Darnold there, though. I weirdly.
He gets paired back up. He gets paired back up with our new offensive coordinator.
Wes Phillips.
So Wes Phillips, our OC.
Yeah.
And then our new QB coach. Sorry. A QB coach. Oh, my God. Looks just like him, but older.
I don't have that one in front of me.
Oh, he's an ex-quarterback, like recent.
Oh.
He was Darnold's backup during the Jets days.
Oh, God.
Oh, again.
Who was
looks just
I
like him.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
God, I can picture him.
I mean, yeah.
Ooh, more breaking news.
He kind of looks like Ivan Draco.
Hold on.
More breaking news.
Yes, the Chiefs are signing Hollywood Brown.
Hey!
Which is
another very obvious move that I was expecting to happen at some point.
Great signing by Josh McCown.
Josh McCown, there you go.
Another great signing, though, for the Chiefs.
I just wrote about that.
Yeah.
Of him going there.
That's an incredible fit. That's what they struggled with, was guys that could reliably catch deep balls. Hollywood fixes that.
Yeah.
If Rashi Rice and Travis Kelce are going to cover your middle and intermediate routes, and Rashi did that very, very well, Chiefs were lacking in the deep ball. Hollywood addresses that. That is an incredible signing by them.
And it just gives him flexibility, because Brown is still a very fast receiver. Can still work, close to the shorter. He can work close to the line of scrimmage. He can work deep. He could kind of play really all over the field. And now he gets a quarterback who can throw him a consistent, accurate ball.
Hell yeah.
And can stay healthy, hopefully.
Yeah.
But,
look.
But back to
Darnold. Not a long-term answer. This is going to be a 1 to 2 year, 1 to 2 year solution until I have to figure it out some other way.
Well, he's on a 1 year deal, so.
Yeah. Well,
I guess
it
could resign him. I think it goes super pear shape.
See Mayfield / Baker.
Yeah. So Darnold's not going to probably start. Or Baker was, I mean, I guess it wasn't cleared for him to start, but.
Who's going to start for Baker? Who's going to start if not Darnold for Minnesota?
Whoever they draft at quarterback when they trade up.
We're banking on that, huh?
Yeah, I am absolutely banking on that.
That would make.
Because I am comfortable with them drafting a rookie quarterback. I would hope that they would trade. They would trade what they can to move up to the first overall pick. If teams could stop giving a shit about traded interdivision and get over this fucking fear of that.
Yeah.
It won't happen. They'll probably move up to pick 3 with the Patriots.
And for Darnold, that's backup money, right? For a year.
That's him being a good players coach. That's him. He could start, right? If they do draft McCarthy is still raw. Like that part does not change.
You give somebody a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could play.
Yep.
He could.
Y'all also brought in Aaron Jones, 1 year, $7 million, to replace Alexander Mattison.
His first press conference, he did the skull chant right before he left. He's already a Vikings legend just because of that. Joins a long list of Green Bay Packers who have joined the Vikings after they've done playing with the Packers. He's a little older, but the one-year deal, never really asked to be the main guy consistently. So I know health has always been a kind of a question mark for him, which is probably why he's not being asked to handle the rock in full. But he's still
very
efficient running back. He's still good when he's healthy. He gives you the pass catching dynamic in which you would want. And they got a good O line. They have fucking 12 wide receivers. They have 11 wide receivers.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Why?
Sort it out later.
Sort it out later. Yeah.
Exactly.
Send some of them to the Chargers because they need some.
Yep. All right, Patriots. Anything else on Vikings, Dan?
No, we're good.
All right, Patriots. Hunter Henry, 3 years, $27 million, re-signing there. Jacoby Brissett back there. Yeah. Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $19.25 million. He's back. Antonio Gibson goes to the Patriots, 3 years, $11.25 million. Plus pass catcher, right? We don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be there.
Our lads
So
has Brissett penciled in for now.
for now.
I don't see. I don't think New England. I think New England's gonna go with maybe the Detroit route and just build around. And just gonna build everything else out besides the QB spot and try that
Figure it out.
later. Since this is also a pretty bad roster,
It is.
up and down on offense especially. And then they'll ride Stevenson and Gibson. Again, it's gonna be one of those really, really good. Bring back the times of the late 2000s to mid teens of I'll just take whatever Patriot back is the cheapest between Gibson and Stevenson.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, Saints, nothing.
Because he can't do
Giants.
anything. Because he can't do shit. Yeah.
Giants acquire Brian Burns from the Panthers, immediately sign him for 5 years, $150 million to go with Kayvon
That pass rush is fucking nuts. My God.
Yeah.
Oof,
Pass
have
rush is going to be
fun.
insane. They
He's
brought in John Runyon, the younger one, not the retired guy. 3 years, $30 million, from Packers, I believe. So solidifying the guard position, they bring in Drew Lock, 1 year, $5 million. Sorry, Danny Dimes, or not Danny Dimes, Tommy DeVito. But Drew Lock's there now. Drew Lock could be starting, honestly.
dude, I'm sorry. He's better than Daniel Jones. I don't care
Well,
if
and
anyone
given
said
the injury
this.
guarantees that are around Daniel Jones, right? They say competition, give it to Lock on a 1 year deal with no injury guarantees because Daniel Jones gets hurt. I saw this tweeted out the other day. It was an interesting point. They're on the hook for like 40 some odd million if he ends next year injured.
I wonder if they'll just eat the dead
Is that
cap
really a
and just
loss?
fucking cut him.
I mean,
Yeah.
is it really a loss at the end of it?
No, they should just bench Jones and just
Just I
accept
really
the
want
fact
Jones
that
to
they
let
gave him a
Locke
horrible
play.
contract.
I really wanted Russell Wilson to go there.
Oh, this team.
Chaotic evil's
Singletary, if
good.
he can survive the draft, should be in line
Good work
for
again.
RB2 volume season. I don't
Never
know how he
good.
does it. The dude just keeps
Just
the
keeps
dude
finding
just keeps
ways to
finding himself
produce.
as a starter.
And
That's
Drew Lock's
very
there.
there he is
Will Drew
again.
Lock can start any minute now?
No, I'm done. Oh, yeah, it's been about Devin Singletary, but yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Lock should start. He's better than Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Anyone's better than Daniel Jones.
Ryan, you're better. Why don't you go suit up for them?
Yeah, I could. Even with a bad knee.
Isaiah McKenzie, also to the Giants. Another slot receiver. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
Tyrod Taylor, 2 years, $18 million to the Jets. So they've done something to
The
insure
goddamn
themselves
Jets.
finally. Although Tyrod Taylor has not been able to stay healthy for any stretch of more than one start in each of the last 4 seasons.
Is he going to be the starter when Aaron Rodgers goes and runs as the vice president for
Yeah.
I don't know.
JFK Jr.? That's what's going to happen.
RFK. JFK Jr.'s dead, Dan. He died in a plane accident.
Fine. Well, whatever.
RFK. RFK.
RFK. RFK. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
They also got Morgan Moses from the Ravens. Jets did. That's actually, I've always liked Morgan Moses. Dude, the fucking warrior.
They stole two offensive linemen from Baltimore. Baltimore just lost. They lost a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Oof.
Eagles. Saquon Barkley, 3 years, $37.75 million. It's an upgrade
I
for
can't.
him, for both of them.
They gave all that money up to be the primary tush pusher for Hurts at the goal line.
Yeah, he's got
I
the pot.
say
He
that jokingly, but no, I think this could also point to them saying, you know, we should probably not send our starting quarterback constantly into harm's way.
Well, Jason Kelce retired. They know the percentage of that's going to go down.
It's not
Yeah.
92% anymore.
Yeah,
It's gonna be dropping.
we should maybe go find a running
Is that
back.
Devonta Parker too? When the fuck did that happen?
What?
The Eagles signed Devonta Parker.
I don't see that
That was a couple days
happening.
ago.
Oh.
Oh, I thought
Anyway.
he just got cut. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway. It's an upgrade here for Barkley. Better
Yes.
offense, more goal line work, like
Hopefully.
drama getting out of New York, no longer in New York. Like, this is good for Barkley. I hope he kills it, and I think that he's going to be in top five conversation again.
He'll be a firm round two pick in redraft.
Yeah, I think so, with big upside. Other than that, CJ Gardner-Johnson, 3 years, $33 million. Brandon Graham back on a 1 year deal. Let's see, Jake Elliott, 4 years, $24 million. He's back. Albert O on a 1 year deal. For tight end depth, Dickerson back, 4 years, $84 million. Steelers.
And they brought in Devin White today.
Did they really? That's good
Yeah,
for
they
them.
signed him earlier today. Yeah.
Hell yeah. CBS, get your shit together.
Every site get their shit together. Everyone's behind.
Not our
Yeah.
lads. Besides the Keenan Allen, because it literally just happened.
Steelers. Patrick Queen, 3 years, $41 million. Hell of a signing to a defense that's already good. Russell Wilson brought in on a 1 year deal. Love this, actually.
$1.2 million is what
Yeah.
it is.
One point, well, they didn't have to pay him. He just needed a 1 year situation, right? It's like the Trevor Bauer deal of the NFL. Just give him league minimum and let it happen because the Broncos are paying him. He no longer has an incentive to go get the bag. The Broncos are paying him the bag.
It's that, and also that he just hasn't been very good the last couple of years. Granted, I know it was a shit show in Denver the last two, but I
Yeah,
don't
but
think it's just
1.2
because
million
I
isn't
don't think
because he
it's
wasn't
just
doing
because
shit.
he,
Darnold got 10 million
yeah.
for the love of God.
I know. I
Right?
again, this deal was made well before, you know,
Yeah.
this had been announced. It was already in the works.
He's better than he's going to get to start. He's better than anything they have on their
Oh,
roster.
I fucking hope
If he
so. Yeah.
struggles, they'll go back to Mason Rudolph. But this is the answer there of, hey, can Russ still be Russ? And if he
I don't
can,
see
this is a
Rudolph still on
playoff
the
team.
roster.
Oh,
I don't see
they haven't re-signed him yet. Is it for, no, you're right.
our
He's a
lads has, yeah, it's just Pickett and Wilson right now.
yeah, Rudolph is a free agent. They haven't re-signed him yet. Maybe they
Oh.
won't now. But
Yeah.
in any event, Russell Wilson will be the starter week one. And he should
It's
be.
an upgrade. It's all
And
that
it's an
is
upgrade
100%.
and he'll get a shot to see if he can still be a Russ or not with a good defense. And he really just like the Kelce brothers are saying, he just has to be game manager Russ and he's fine.
Yep.
Because
Yep.
the other
Yep.
side
Yep.
of that
Yep.
ball is scary.
He still has a good moon ball.
And he's got a good run game. And he's got George Pickens. If he can just throw it up and say, fuck it, Pickens is down there somewhere, you're in good shape.
I mean, if Mason Rudolph can do it, I mean,
Yeah.
come
Also,
on, Russ.
I think that's good news for George Pickens. Also, by the way.
More accurate balls.
Yeah.
Bad news is Arthur Smith there still. So you'll have a 12 target game followed by a three. That's in his wheelhouse. And he's got no competition for targets as of right now,
Yeah.
besides maybe Pat Freiermuth
There you go.
to an extent. Wheels up.
49ers. Yep. 49ers, not a lot here. They get Leonard Floyd in from the Rams. Yeah. We don't got to talk about anything there. Malik Collins via trade with Texans. The D tackle, not the. Anyway. Seattle Seahawks. Leonard Williams, 3 years, $64 million. Noah Fant back, 2 years, $21 million. Sam Howell acquired via trade with the Commanders to fulfill the Drew Lock role, I'm assuming, behind Geno Smith.
I like this move. It allows them to kind of give a, you know, a developmental piece behind Geno, because Geno's time's, you know, starting to come up, you know, and he can maybe take some of the good that the Hall showed last year and try to help improve from the weaknesses that were
Yeah.
obviously clearly there too. And still a very strong supporting cast with Walker and Charbonnet is two good, 1-2 combos. And then you still have Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN. So not too shabby.
Nope. Bucks, we talked about them bringing back Mike Evans last week. Baker Mayfield's back. Antoine Winfield Jr. Tagged. Chase Edmonds re-signed. Yeah. Not a lot of changing going on there. A lot of people back for Tampa, which makes sense.
Good.
Tennessee
Yep.
Titans.
This
Yeah.
offense looking different. Like, man, like they're trying to build around Will Levis.
They are trying to build something. They signed Mason Rudolph and found out where he went.
This is
So,
going to be your disappointment of the 2024 season.
yeah. So if that
Right
doesn't
here.
work, you've got Mason Rudolph there, I guess. Bring back Nick Westbrook. They bring in Kenneth Murray from the Chargers, Lloyd Cushenberry, a lineman, 4 years, $50 million. Tony Pollard comes in, take over the Henry role. Tre'Davious Woozie comes in, former Cowboys quarterback, cornerback, sorry. Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million, which is the worst overpay I've seen in a long fucking time.
$50 million guaranteed. 29
Good
years
for
old.
him. Good for him.
Exactly.
Good
Good
for
for
him.
him.
I love that the Titans were plus 1200 on DraftKings, had of odds to get him, so he bet on himself. No, truly.
Truly.
I mean, somebody did probably.
Yeah.
I wish I did. Fuck.
Am I gonna have to change? This is one of the things I was conflicted about earlier. Am I gonna have to change my opinion on Tennessee? Because right, I've seen them as a fantasy wasteland for so fucking long for everything that wasn't Derrick Henry. Like even when AJ Brown and Corey Davis were there, I'm like, all right, like these guys are gonna get there some weeks, but like it's been an offense you haven't been able to trust the passing game in for so long. How do you trust Calvin Ridley in this?
Nothing's changed. They just overpaid a wide receiver 2-3. They overpaid, I won't say they overpaid, but slightly overpaid a running back who may or may not be better than the guy they have there now. Like, watch ADPs. Like,
And I still have DeAndre Hopkins.
it's like a Hopkins, right? They still it's so Will Levis
No.
throwing him the football. Like that hasn't changed. If not, if it's
Something.
not Levis, then it's Mason Rudolph.
But something has changed. The offense. Right? I mean, it's Brian Callahan coming in here, not Mike
Yeah.
Vrabel. It's not going to be so run heavy.
He's gonna
So
be pass happy.
you're going to see an identity change here. And I think that's something people need to be ready for. I mean, this wide receiver trio right now is DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Calvin Ridley. That is a lot of nothing and a lot of upside all at once.
The true definition of a team going all in and hopes that it works out.
Yeah.
Because this is them saying we're going all in on, well, this is them, we're going all in on Levis. And
With
if it doesn't
Pollard,
work,
and if it doesn't
and it
work, they're
doesn't
going to
work.
have to hit a major reset. Like, this is
Yeah.
the last chance to retool, I think, with Levis. If Levis isn't it, they're going to have to reset because they're not doing any of this through the draft. And we'll see how that turns out. But they're not. And it's not like the defense is getting any younger with anything going on here. So I'm just, it's a thing. I don't, there's some upside here. It's going to be interesting to take some pieces and see how they reinvent themselves, I think. But I think Ridley's an
Yeah.
overpay, and you're right. This team is set up to be disappointing. Commanders, speaking of, last one.
Speaking of
Same as the
disappointment,
Titans.
and
Yeah. They
CTs.
are really the same as the Titans. You're absolutely right. Austin Eckler, 2 years, $11 million. Mariota, 1 year, $6 million to back up. Zach Ertz comes in at 1 year, $5 million. A lot of age coming in there. They bring in Cleveland Farrell as an edge rusher. Center Nick
Bobby
Acciardi
Wagner.
has been good. Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, Brandon McManus. Like, what's going on with the Commanders right now? is
And they just
essentially,
traded Howell too.
well, yeah, they traded
Yeah. He
Howell.
went to the Seahawks.
Right. So they traded Howell. They brought in Mariota. Mariota is your current starter. So.
The one good thing here is just there's a lot of veterans, a lot of guys that are comfortable, should be comfortable in these roles. A lot of guys have been on multiple teams. When they make their youth movement here, and whoever they bring in, whether it be Daniels or May here at two, or if they do trade up to one with Chicago and take Caleb, there's a lot of veterans and a lot of people that can be leaned down. This is a team that sees it that way. I
With
hope at least.
McLaurin, with Jahan Dotson, with Deami Brown, I'd like to see a veteran wide receiver added to that that isn't just Jamison Crowder. You got Eckler, a veteran, Ertz, veteran. Like, you got these good pieces to where it's like they're saying we're going to be a middle of the road team. And I don't know. It's a weird thing to see you trade away your quarterback and then you add a bunch of maybe past their prime guys. And then you're also going to maybe rebuild with the number two pick.
It's, I mean, yeah.
A lot of questions.
The first thing that Dan Quinn's going to have to do is set a direction for this team,
I agree.
because this reminds me a lot of crossing sports here, like the Blackhawks in the late 2010s, like 17 through 20, where it's the window's done, but we're not going to admit it's done. So we're going to keep bringing in like old favorites and past the prime guys and underperforming.
The Saints.
The Saints. Yep.
The Vikings, teams
Yep.
that overstayed their welcome when their window was close. Except
Except
Washington
Washington
never
never
had a
really had a
window.
window.
And they never had a window
No.
because it was never there. And you
Which,
bring in Dan Quinn, who's and Cliff, I've been pretty critical on.
yeah. The team needs a youth movement, and bringing in the Bobby Wagners and Frankie Louvus and Cleveland Farrells and Austin Ecklers and Zach Ertzes of the world is not a youth movement.
This is like the kid in the Dynasty Leagues that wants to bring that drafts all the veterans and hopes they can trade them for draft picks later.
So, yeah, right.
And it
Or
just never happens because a lot of these guys are past their prime and their
or
upside, and you're not paying for what they've done. You got to pay for what they're going to do, and it just doesn't look great.
Or the person in your fantasy league that's maybe like, oh, they signed Jeremy Chen too. That's at least a
I
little
like
youthful.
that, but
If
Chin
that's
can't
him.
stay healthy
No,
at
he
all.
can't. Anyway, back to what I was saying. It's a person in your redraft league that like you hasn't really followed football in a couple of years because their team started to be bad. So they see these guys and they're like, big names. Yes, I know those. They're gonna be good. They're gonna be beasts. And you're like, nah, man, like wrong side of the bell curve.
Yeah.
That's what this and Tennessee feel like.
Yep. Can't wait for them to suck and be like, oh, I'm surprised. Okay.
Why? Yeah. What are you surprised by?
Right.
Anyway, that's our show. Thank you guys for tuning in. You guys got anything else on free agency?
Thank you for the chaotic Monday.
Yeah,
That
it
shit
was a fun
was for
time.
that. I for those 2 hours, I was like, I'm gonna go see accounts. I'm gonna go think. I just was glued because every fucking refresh it felt like was something new.
This is the most fun we get to have all year, other than draft time, is free agency.
Mean, it's last 4 days. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's been
look at us
nuts.
now. Those last 2 hours, what's just happened?
Look at us now. We're like the Paul Rudd meme. Look at us now.
Look at us now.
Who would have
So,
thought? Who would have
look at
thought?
us now.
We're
We'll be back.
beautiful.
We'll be back
Not
next
me.
week. We'll have more moves trickling in and stuff. We'll do a quick Dynasty 101 look, and then we'll turn it into draft content in the following weeks. So, I think that's what's on there anyway. I'll find out when I actually look. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Yeah, next week is TBD.
I guess we'll figure it out.